get started today. Had a great Sunday school lesson already, and glad to see all of our visitors with us this morning. We've got, I was telling Jonathan, this is our on-call day. We got a bunch of our people in church on-call and on their job, so some of them gone today, so remember those. And we got some birthdays, I think, this morning somewhere. We'll do the whole month of May. Anybody have birthdays in May? Raise your hand. Anybody want to tell how many years?
Oh, I'm proud of mine. 73.
One's going to be 40. When you get over the hill, you start rolling. Kim's already rolled up 5 more years. Let's sing Happy Birthday to these. Somebody, who's going to lead us? I would, but I can't sing. Somebody got to start.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
I had to get Kim before she leaves. I got to go to homecoming this morning, so I had to get her. Have any prayer requests this morning? We'll try to get going this morning. Any prayer requests we need to remember? Do you remember our church? Remember next Sunday is also homecoming, so excited for that. Mother's Day, as we honor our mothers, speak much in prayer for that service and for those that's put up with us for all those years. And I know we got several taking treatments and different things, so remember those. And God's been good to us. We've seen people in our community, cancer going into remission this year, and several different things happen. So just thank him and just give him the praise as you pray. Anybody else? No other prayer requests. Terry, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, thank you for this time you've given us to come and meet in your house and to worship you and honor you with our presence. I lift up each one that's here. I pray, Father, that you touch each heart and draw each one a little closer to you. I pray for our further service.
Amen.
Stand and sing with us this morning.
Fear feels bigger than my faith. Struggles steal my breath away. Pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall, strong enough to hold it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. This war's not what I would have chosen. Do you see the future? No one knows. There's still good when I can see the working of your hands. You're holy. Cast my cares, I will. cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will.
Time of fellowship.
Have you ever met those who keep humming when the song soon it's like they live a life to a whole different time. And have you ever met those that keep open when it's all wrong? It's like they figured out what the rest of the year. The second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of time. So the backbone is your blind. Cause walking does wonder things. You don't have to know how to.
So like the Eiffel, uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Get it over, pretty, pretty, please. Let me see your hands in the air with you at your seats. Ram it up like gold, shout it out, celebrate. When you can't articulate, just say amazing grace.
The second you
realize,
what you have inside, it's only just a matter of time.
Thank you. drawing near, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace. Grace is found, it's where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you.
Aside some special time for a couple special young men as they have come to a milestone in their lives. And as I was thinking of what to say up here to these graduates, I began thinking of when I myself was a graduate, and that was a few years ago, 25 years, May the 18th, I've been out of school. And guys, it goes by in a hurry. You'll turn around and somebody will say, I've been out of school 25 years, and I still think I feel like these people do. But when I was out there Wednesday night throwing that football, I figured out I'm not 17, 18 years old anymore. But Dylan and Caleb, would y'all come forth, please? These are our two high school seniors this year. If we could just knew then what we know now, we would all be in way better shape. But we could have. We could have had the knowledge because it's right here. So we're going to present these guys with a Bible. And there's no better instructions that man can have in this life than this Word of God. You've heard it said, you probably read it in quotes, different things. A Bible falling apart usually belongs to someone who's not. And everything you need for life is in these scriptures. I wish I had known this 25 years ago. I could have saved myself some heartaches and pains and suffering. Everything from the spouse who you should marry up to the job, your careers, of how you should raise your children, everything is right here in this Word. So Caleb, we present this Bible to you and ask that you dig in that thing and you become closer to God and I know you'll become the man that he wants you to be. Dylans, we present this Bible to you. We pray that you use it and really dig into it, and it will make a difference in your life. And guys, you'll be seated right here for 1 minute. I got some scripture I want to read to you. I think we give Bibles to seniors, and it becomes just a tradition, something we do as we don't think much about. But let me read you what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 through 17 says about this word of God. Listen to this. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And thou from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do you notice that first part up there I read? For all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In our country, these guys may never be put in jail for standing up teaching or preaching what they believe. I pray they're never put in jail for coming to a Christian church, although it could get to that point. But one thing we do know is it promises in this word that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We don't want to be pessimists, but we do know according to Scripture that things will not get better. As these guys grow older, they'll need to rely on something more and more, and it's this word of God. And for those of us that's been out of high school 25 years and some a little bit longer, we know that we still need this word of God. Every single day, every decision we make is here. So church, I ask you something. Pray for these men. Pray for these young men. They need it. We say it so often, well, we'll pray for you, and most of the time we don't do it. But let's pray for not only these two, but all of our seniors in our counties, whether it be Cleburne County, Ramburn, Oxford, any of these surrounding counties. When these guys out there, when they get out into this real life that they've heard mom and dad talk about forever, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy, especially standing up for Christ. And I pray that you're going to pray for them. And guys, in this Bible is everything you need to be the man that God has called you to be. We'll go into a word of prayer, then we'll dismiss from this service. Father, we thank you for this day again. Lord, we thank you for these two seniors. God, we ask that they take this word and that they read it. And Father, that they take it to heart, and Father, that they learn from it. Lord, we pray that you guide their paths, that you show them which way to take. Lord, as they'll have many decisions to make from this time forward. Lord, I pray that you just ever lead them, guide them, and let them be attentive to your will. God, I ask you to be with their parents, Lord, be their grandparents. As this change in life comes, it's hard to accept sometimes. But God, I pray that you comfort them and let them know that they're in good hands as they follow you. And Lord, I thank you for our church and for what these two has meant to our church. Lord, I pray that you bless us. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Give them a hand. Amen. When the Lord put this message upon my heart, I hadn't even thought about these two seniors we have that are graduating and about to enter into life. And not only these seniors, but many others. But in Daniel chapter number 3, verse 1 through 30, we read a very, very familiar story about three young men. About three young men who had some decisions to make. And thank God that these was godly young men. And when I'm doing an outline, put a question down most of the time. And the question I asked this morning is, who is that God? Who is that God? In Daniel chapter number 3, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, and the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, and the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together until the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. At what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever shall not fall down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, and the sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people in the nations and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship it, he shall be cast to the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up. The Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if you be ready, that what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. This is the part I want to preach on this morning. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the princes and the captains and the kings and the counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trust in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king prompted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, I ask you to help us preach just a few minutes. Lord, help us take it to our hearts, and Lord, may it change us. Father, if there's one in here that don't know this God, I pray they will before we leave this place. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As I read that, it was very, very familiar to all of us. We've heard it from the time that we were small children. We've heard this story. And I think sometimes we fail to realize the power that's in this. But I've got a few things I want to point out this morning about this story. Number one, I want you to see the faith of these young men. And go back a little bit, give you a little introduction. Israel or Jerusalem had come under Babylonian captivity. We preach about this captivity all the time, but they had come under this captivity because of the idol worship they had gotten themselves into, and so God must bring them into this to get it out of their system, so to speak. But here he brings them in, and these four men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all those, this was not their names when they first come in, immediately they began to get tested. Immediately the king told them what they should eat and exactly how they should live. And they made friends with a guy who was over them and said, I tell you what, give us a test for 10 days. We don't want to eat the king's meat. We don't want to eat the thing the king has us to. So you allow us to drink water and eat vegetables for 10 days. And after those 10 days, you look at us. And if we look good, then so be it. You let us continue our diet. And if we don't look good, then we will eat the king's meat. So they started immediately bucking the system. They started, now listen, the Bible never teaches us to go against man's law unless it goes against the laws of God. That's the only time we are to try to go against the laws that's been set up for our good. So these that goes against God is not set up for our good. So here they are, they immediately start on this, and time has went by, and these men have been promoted to high positions in this kingdom. They've been promoted to these positions, and the old King Nebuchadnezzar got the big head and decided that he needed him a great big statue. So this statue was 90 foot tall and 9 foot wide, and it says it was made of pure gold. Now, when I began studying about this thing, the scholars say there wasn't enough gold to do that in the whole nation right there at that time in Babylon. So it said it was probably made of wood and overlaid with gold. But no matter, it was a very expensive statue. So Nebuchadnezzar said, I tell you what's going to happen. I want y'all to come at this set time to bow down and do this. And in chapter 3, verse 12, these men immediately began to tell him that they're not going to do this thing. They told him, they said, Nebuchadnezzar, we're just not going to do it. And there are certain Jews who set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is in verse number 12. It said, these men, O king, have not regarded thee, nor served thy gods, nor worshipped the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring them. And then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, at what time? Do you realize what he done? He liked these boys so much, he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. In this case, I'm going to give you another chance. Now, if you've ever studied about kingdoms in this day, you didn't get a second chance. When you bucked the king, brother, you was dead. There wasn't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. So the king liked these boys. So he said, I will give them another chance because I sure do not want to do this. So it says, now, if you be ready at what time you hear it, the sepulchres, harp, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image, which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fire furnace. And who is that God that should deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of our hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Did you realize the faith that was in these boys? And listen, church, it's the exact same faith that we need to have in today's times. We're living at the same time when everybody in the world is looking at you. When you profess to be a Christian, they're wanting to know who is that God. They're wanting to see who is that God. You know how they're going to determine who is that God according to the life that you live in front of them. That's how they're going to determine. I can say a million words preaching. I can say all these great things and sound like I know what I'm talking about. But when you look at my life, if it don't line up with that, it don't mean a hill of beans. And so he's telling them here, he says, king, we're not careful. In other words, it ain't no thinking to us what we're going to do. We've got enough faith in our God that we're not going to worship no any false gods. Now, what if me and you today had this kind of faith? Because you don't realize this, but when I tell you this, you're going to understand that these trials come from every direction. In your job, you may be asked to do things that's not godly. In your college life, these young men are going into, you may see things and be peer pressured into things that are not godly. And you say, and the world tells you, hey, just live it up and only last for a little bit. You've done told me, preacher, that this time's going to fly by, so surely I must live this thing a little bit and enjoy it. Listen, if it goes against the commandments of God, you better stay away from it. And these men had enough God about them to see something, that God was going to take care of them no matter what else happened. That he was in control, and it didn't take them long to think about this. It wasn't like me and you today. Whenever something comes that we know not right, our number one excuse is, well, I'll go pray about it. Well, I'll go pray about this thing. Listen, we immediately know if it's against God's rules or not. And if we know that, there's no reason to pray about it. The answer needs to be yes or no. And if it's not of God, then you need to turn away from that thing and go forward from it, just as these men did. They said, we will not be careful, O king. We ain't got to think about this. We ain't got to pray about it. We ain't got to get our Bibles out and read about it for 2 hours. We ain't got to do this stuff. We know it's wrong. We know the Bible says the commandments told us we should have no other God before thee, God. It tells us we should not worship any kind of image. So we don't have to think we're going to do it. And boy, how many times in my life, I wish I could answer this for you. How many times in my life have I knew the right thing to do, but because of outside pressures, I might have caved into it? How many times, young people, have you known the right thing, and because you felt a little pressure from the outside, you gave in? Listen, what's the number one thing you hear today when somebody tries to talk you into drinking, or somebody talks you into doing illegal drug, or somebody tries to talk you into sex or some of this other stuff the Bible teaches against? What's the first thing that the devil puts in your mind? Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. Boy, if I heard it from my teenage girls enough, I could throw up. I hear everybody else does it, or their thing is everybody else's mom and daddy allows it. And then what I tell y'all girls, I'm not responsible for everybody else. Listen, they had all of it coming at them. The whole kingdom was bowing down before this image. And these three young men, now we don't know where Daniel was. All the writers say he was probably in position. He didn't have to be Saul at this time. But whatever it was, I promise you, Daniel would not have bowed neither. But besides that, there was four people in the whole kingdom who was not bowing down to this image. I don't know how many people they would have been at that time, but it was a bunch of people. And what I'm telling you this morning is, just because everybody else is doing it, that don't mean you got to do it. The thing you're called to do is what God has called you to do, and that's live according to that word. It's not popular, but it's what to do. And I want to tell you where their faith come from. It was the object of their faith. Who was the object? What was the object of their faith? We all have faith in something. Miss Pat had faith in an airplane when she got on it this week. She had faith it was going to get her to Arizona and back, or she wouldn't have got on it. We have faith our car was going to get us here this morning, or we wouldn't have got in it. We have faith that our wives was going to be faithful to us when we married them, or we wouldn't have married them. It goes on and on. We all have faith in something, but what matters about how you live is the object of that faith. The object of the faith. You don't worship the airplane because it simply got you to one place or another. You don't worship a car because it simply gets you from one place or another. But listen, we worship a true and a living God who can take care of every problem in our life. Amen. An airplane can't handle one thing but get me to point B. And then if I got to walk back on it to get back to point A, but listen, I serve a God that can handle all aspects of everything I do. He's in control of the whole world. So why in the world do I even worry about what's going to happen in my life, because He is in control? The object of their faith was what they saw. The object of their faith. And you know why? They realized something. They had been through many tests and trials. I could go around this room right now, and some of y'all have been through some hard times. We've got people in here that has lost husbands. We've got them who's lost wives. We've got them who's lost children, who's lost grandchildren, and many other things. Some of y'all have suffered cancer. Some of y'all have suffered all kinds of things, financial struggles. And boy, you just name it, we've all been through something. But you know what we've learned through it? That God is faithful to take care of us. And that's where the object of their faith come from. They remember back a time when their grandfathers talked about God bringing them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. They had heard all these things and how God provided on every scene. And listen, they remembered back to the time when they first came into Babylon, when God took water and vegetables and made their body strong. They said, hey, this God is real. This God has delivered. This God has brought me through. So the object of their faith was on a true and a living God. But listen now, the obedience of their faith. Verse number 18. But if he don't decide to bring us out of the fire, is what they were saying. Be it known to thee today, O king, we will not serve thy gods and worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know what they had decided? That whether God decided to deliver them from this trial or not, that everything was going to be okay. That he was in control and he had them a home in heaven and they was going to live forever. So whatever happened today just did not matter to these young men. Boy, I wish I had faith like this. Boy, I had faith. Hey, listen, when we go to the doctor and we give him a bad report, the cancer word we saw about on the screen this morning. I've never heard that. I pray to God I don't never hear it. But listen, as many people in our country has it, chances are we may hear it sometime inside this church building. So when we hear that, you know what? It'd be easy to fall apart. It'd be easy to fall apart and say, oh me, I don't know what has happened. But listen, God gave them enough faith because the object of their faith, then obedience of their faith, they trusted God no matter the outcome. How many of us can do that? How many of us can honestly say, I'm going to trust God no matter what happens? You know what me and you do? Me and you'll decide to trust God if he meets my obligations. God, if you'll heal me, I'll do this, this, and this. God, if you'll give me that job, then I'll do this, this, and this. God, if you'll give me that relationship I so desire, then God, I'll do this and this. Or God, if you give me this money so I can buy this thing, I'll do this and this and this. May I tell you something? That you cannot bargain with God. You can't bargain with him. You know why? Because you're going to break the bargain, and God's not in the bargaining business. God's in the taking care of you business. And listen, and we need to follow him and trust him no matter what happens. When tested, Listen to this. If you don't hear anything else from this sermon, I want you to hear this one sentence. When tested, true faith shows up. You can say you have faith all day long when things are easy. Mark Hall, the one we saw the picture about this morning, Mark Hall sings a song about deep water faith in the shallow end. And boy, I think about this a lot of times. You see, I'm up on flying because I'm aggravating Pat this morning, but I like the idea of flying. I think it's cool that they make an airplane. You can get on, it goes 500 miles an hour, it's 6 miles above the earth, and you can go from here to Arizona in 3 or 4 hours. I like the idea of flying, but listen, when it comes to actual flying, I get a little nervous. You know why? Because that thing, to my mind, Lee, just is not proven yet. You know why it's not proven? Because I turn on the TV and I see one crashed just outside of Savannah. And I see this stuff and I know that it's possible that this thing can fail. But listen, I know I serve a God who cannot fail. And the faith I have put in Him and tested, and when trials come, if I've got saving faith and true faith, it's going to show up. Mark Hall said it best. He said, when shaken, he come back to a solid part, to a part that would not move. And it's put there from that faith that had no Savior. We got to move on. I want you to see the faith, but also the fire. The fire. In verse 19, we begin hearing about how the old king was angry. He was mad as he could be. It says, King then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, commanded that the heat of the furnace was 7 times hotter than it was to be heated. I studied about this furnace a little bit, and it was one that they used to melt iron ore. And they had it 7 times hotter than they would usually have gotten it to melt the iron. And how do we know that? Because it was so hot that it slew the men who threw them in there. And these men worked with this furnace all the time, so they knew that this thing was shouldn't kill them like that. So he had it hotter 7 times than it should have been. And he commanded the mighty men that was in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then those men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and other garments. In other words, they was fully dressed. They had everything on that should have been on. If they was fully dressed, they were cast into the midst of the burning furnace. Then because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men. It took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You see, this furnace was as hot as it had ever been. It was hot as it had ever been. And listen, I want to tell you this morning, you may be in the middle of a trial that's the hottest you've ever seen. It may be the hottest fire you've ever been put in yet, and your faith's about to be tested. You may be the one that's been to the doctor and got the bad news. You may be the one that's struggling in many other areas, but the fact of the matter is that in a building, even with a crowd this size, there are people who have troubles. And we have trials. And somebody in this room, including myself, sometime this week, you will go through a test. And the heat will be turned up, and you'll get to decide about your faith. You'll get to decide if you have true faith or what your faith is about. You see, when this fire is so hot, and them old boys began going up to it and realize how hot this thing was, it would have been real tempting to say, you know what, I changed my mind. Let me just bow down. Let me just bow down. Now listen, if they would have went to the preachers or to the Sunday school directors or somebody or the deacons and said, what do you think I should do in this situation? We would be tempted to say, well, why don't you just bow this time, and it's not going to matter a lot. Why don't you just give in this one time, and listen, everything's going to be okay. Won't nobody remember it. It's just one time anyway. Why don't you just do this thing? And they wouldn't do that because they knew who they trusted. They trusted this living God, and they understand something, that once you start bowing, you never will stand again. Once you give in to the world, you never will come back. And when we've already raised 2 teenage girls, one of them's 20, and one of them's about to be 17, or is 17 or something, and she's had a bunch of wrecks and all this stuff, so... And we know what happens. And we've told them since the time they was little girls. And they would get to be 12 or 13 and begin hanging around people. Now listen, I'm not the judge of them, but you can tell by the fruits. You'd say, listen, I don't think this person's good for you. You need to stay away from them. How many of us ever said that to our children? And you know what they tell you? Oh, but I can change them. Oh, I can change them. And listen, what happens is the bad always brings the good down. Very seldom do you see somebody able to lift a bad one up. Very seldom do you see that. Most of the time, the bad will drag you down with it. And listen, once you give in one time, how easy did this thing begin to happen? So the heat was turned up, and these boys said, I realize something. If we bow this one time, if we give in just this one little time, then no longer do we have a testimony before everybody else that we are children of God. It would get them this one time. And you see, this is what happens to us as we get around people and things is brought on to us. And teenagers in this, the peer pressure gets turned up and everything happens. We begin coming up with some excuses that I pinned down because these are the ones that I used. A little won't hurt. A little bit won't hurt you. I told somebody the other day, I'm proud to stand here and say, and I am bragging about this, I've never tried an illegal drug. I've never tried marijuana, anything illegal drug. I have never in my life taken it. God protect me of it. And God put in my mind a fear. I'm a hypochondriac. However you say that word, Stephanie calls me. Everything I see on TV, I got it. And I remember being a kid, was in school, and they said, one time trying this drug, your heart could stop. It was probably an exaggeration, Terry, but I believed them. So I never tried it. So I never tried this. But listen, I had many friends who did. And you know what they would tell me? One time won't hurt. You won't die. Hey, I do it all the time. They say, so a little bit won't hurt. So-and-so does it. And we got a list of things. He's a preacher's kid, or she's a preacher's kid, or she's a deacon's kid, or this or that. We got a whole list of these others that has tried it. And see them? They still haven't gave in. It's my life. Boy, that's a good one, ain't it? It's my life. It ain't hurting nobody else. May I tell you that every sin you'll ever read about in the Bible that men committed, it affected their family for years and years, and your sin does affect other people besides yourself. It will affect others. I'm only hurting myself. Kind of covered that one. Listen, this list goes on and on and on. On and on. They could have missed the furnace by kneeling. There's no doubt. They could have missed it. Never had to go in there. And listen, they would still been God's kids, still being God's children, still being God's Jews, the chosen ones. They would have still been that. But no, these boys had enough faith to realize something, that once they bowed, they became puppets to the king. Once they bowed. I want to tell you something, church member. Or you may be here and not be a member, but listen. If you're here, I want you to hear this, that once you bow, once you give in, that's when it begins to start. Once you give in. Did you realize there's never in history, never in the history of man has there ever been an alcoholic who never tried a drink? And what I'm saying is somebody that has never tasted alcohol has never became an alcoholic. It's impossible. There's never been a drug addict that has not tried illegal drugs. In other words, if you have never tried an illegal drug, it's impossible to get addicted to that illegal drug. Now, I know that we have prescription drugs that have some of the same substances in them, but you know where I'm going with this. On and on. If you've never once tried an affair, you've probably never lost your marriage because of this reason. I realize marriages end for all different reasons, but this is one I picked out. All this stuff, it keeps going on and on. If you don't start it, you ain't got to stop it. These men realized something. This fire was hot. Oh, they said, this thing's hot, but listen, we realize who's in control of this matter. We realize who's in control. We're always getting in control. May I tell you something? You realize that this king put these men in a position of higher authority. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego held big jobs in the kingdom. But when it come down to disobeying him, he cared nothing about them. He cared nothing about them. Now listen, there's a ruler of this world, the Bible says, is Satan. Yeah, that's right. You say, wait a minute, God's in control, but he's allowed Satan to be the ruler of this world. The Bible says it himself. He's allowed him. He's allowed him to have the power. Now, he can take it away anytime he wants to because he's sovereign and a holy, powerful God. Yes, he's in divine control. I know that. But listen, he has allowed this king to test us with some things, to try us with some things. And I want to tell you something this morning that you probably already know. He cares nothing about you. You know what his job is? To kill and to destroy. Anything that has to do with God, he wants dead. If you say you belong to God, he wants you dead. And you say, preacher, I don't have no enemies. Oh, yes, you do. If you're a child of God, you've got a direct enemy, and it's Satan. He wants to see you destroyed. He wants to see you done away with. He cares nothing about you. Oh, but the pretty pictures he'll paint. He paints some pretty ones. So the fire was hot. Their faith was strong. The fire was hot. But I want you to see the fourth. Boy, this ought to make a Baptist shout. In chapter number 3, verse 24-26, and Nebuchadnezzar the king, he was astonished. He rose up in haste and spake unto his counselors. Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? Wouldn't you love to have been there this time? I would have loved to have seen that. The old king got up and he run to that door of that furnace. I don't know if it had a window or what it was, but I like to picture it as a window. And he looked in there and he said, whoa, wait a minute, boys, we've got a problem. Now, if I remember right, now, I know I've been partaking some things I might not should, but didn't we not cast 3 men into this fire? All of them turned around, looked at one another and said, yeah, they all agreed. We threw in 3 men. And he said, when we threw them in there, was they not tied up? Yes, when we threw them in there, they was bound in their coats and hosen, and they was bound. He said, did we not throw them into the midst of the fire? They answered the king and said, true, O king. And he answered and he said, lo, I see 4 men. I see 4 men, and they're loose. They're not bound anymore. They're loose in the middle of the worst fire they can be in. They was loose. You know why they was loose? Because there was a 4th one in there with them. And I got it right, thank you. There was a 4th one in there with them. And listen, Nebuchadnezzar said something. This is right here, where if you've got another version of the Bible, you may get to noticing something. And I did the other night. I had to go and begin to do some studying after this, after I read this another version of the Bible. If you've got a Bible other than the King James, it probably says, he said the 4th is likened to the sons of gods. A little G-O-D-S. But if you've got a King James version, it says likened to the Son of God. Now we could split hairs and fuss right here all day long. I believe with all my heart that it was Jesus in the midst of this fire. Amen. But listen, King Nebuchadnezzar, according to theologians and people that's way smarter than I am, he was a heathen king. He knew nothing about the one true God at this point of his life. So what they say, what he probably saw was an angel that he, to his mind, he thought it was an angel. He didn't know what God it was. But he said something was different about this person he saw. Now listen, this is how I like to think this, so I'm going to go with what I believe. I believe he said, and listen, this is what always gets me about theologians and these people that write commentaries. We believe God is an all-powerful God and he can do anything at any time. I believe it's possible that God showed Nebuchadnezzar within a blink of an eye who that man was in that fire. I believe he knew it was Jesus Christ. I believe he knew it was the Son of God. And listen, it wasn't no son of some other gods. It was the Son of the God, and he was in the middle of the fire with them. And bless God, he'll be in the middle of the fire with me and with you. He was in the middle of the fire. And now listen, this would have been a great story if they was bound down and all their clothes was burnt off of them. It would still be a great story. If they even survived and had to go to Grady in Atlanta and be treated for 3 months, it would still be a great story. But he says, I see 4 men. And he says, they're loose, walking about. You know what this is telling us today, church? In the middle of the worst storms in life, we are not bound. We can still praise the Lord. We can still thank him and we're still free. Although it may look like trouble's on every corner, if you belong to him, I may tell you, according to this word today, he is in the fire with you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. No matter what you've done, you may not have stood up as good as these boys did. But may I tell you, he's still in the fire. If you belong to him, he's still in the fire. And listen, he said, I see him walking around. And when I began thinking about this, you know what walks? It's people that's alive. Now, you don't ever see, Keith works at the funeral home, and Ben's not here this morning, but anybody that's ever been in the funeral home or knows anything about it, those people do not walk around, do they, Keith? If they do, Keith would make a new door up there. Dead people don't walk. These people was walking. They was alive and walking in the midst of that fire. And it says they have no hurt on them. The 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the fiery furnace and spake and said, this is the only time you see in this story where they obeyed the king. You know why? Because they'd obeyed their God first. And they wanted to show the king something. He said, come forth out of that furnace. So they came forth. They said, came forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, and captains, and all the king's counselors gathered together. Wouldn't you love to have seen it? All them high-ups come around, and they was astonished. We can't explain this. How in the world did this happen? Well, we just don't know what happened. It says, saw these men upon whom the bodies of fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. We got a bunch of firemen in our congregation. And you know what? I promise you, their wives will tell you, when they go to a fire, when they come into the house, you have no doubt they're home, do you? You can smell it when they get out of the truck. The smell of fire is on them. the smoke is on them. You can get around a bonfire or a campfire, and you don't have to be there 2 minutes, and you smell like it the rest of the day. These men didn't even smell of smoke. Why? Because the fourth man was in the fire with them. Had no effect on them. No effect. You see, we're about to see something. Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 26 through 30, answers his own question. Remember I told you back in verse number 15, he said, who is that God? Who is that God? Listen, verse 26 through 30, and I'll be closing. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the firing furnace, spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Servants of the Most High God, come forth. They came hither, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth amidst the fire. Princes, governors, and kings, counselors being gathered together saw these men, who the bodies of fire had no power, nor was the hair of their heads seen, nor their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every man, people, nation, language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghills, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted them. You see, the answer to his question was, who is that God? He's a God like no other. He's a God that's all-powerful. He's a God that's in control. And listen, he is a God today that can bring you out of the fire. You may be here today and you may be having a different fire experience than the one I've been preaching about. The one I've been preaching about was those that knew God. You may be here and you've never met him. You've never asked him to save you. You've never received Christ. If you hadn't, may I tell you, you are in a fire. You're in a fire. Listen, all you got to do is call upon the name of Jesus, and that fire is quenched. The Spirit of God pulls on that heartstrings, lets you realize something, that you need a Savior. You can be saved. You can be saved. The Bible says, so whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it says you cannot be saved without hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Don't mean you got to hear me preach. It means you got to either read the Word of God, hear the Word of God taught, preached, sung, or some form. The Word of God got to be presented for men, women, boys, and girls to be saved. That's the way it's done. It's the way it's done. Listen. Their faith, the faith these men had, the world around them was looking. They was looking. All these people in Babylon, all these other Jews was looking. This was their leaders. This was the one. They all wondered, what's going to happen? When this is put on, you realize something, teenagers, young men that's just graduated high school or about to graduate? When those people are testing you and they know what you claim to believe and they know who you claim to believe in, something deep inside them that's put there by that enemy wants to test you, wants to try you, wants to see. And that faith you have might be the faith that leads those people to Christ. It might be the faith that leads Heflin, Alabama, the ones that don't know Jesus, to him. It may come, you read about all, most of the revivals that's happened throughout our land in modern times, I'm talking about from 1800s on up, has been started by young people standing up for Christ. Almost all of them. You may be the one. It might be your faith that answers the questions for them. The next time you're faced with a decision, either join in or stand up for what you say. I pray that you stand. I pray you stand firm, unwilling, unwanting to give up. Don't give in to kneeling one time. You don't kneel one time, you don't got to worry about it. And I found this out because I was on the other end of this, probably taunting other people that lived a life that I didn't know nothing about when I was a teenager. And I remember we'd keep on and keep on trying to get them to join in with us. Those same words one time. Just come on with us. You ain't going to hurt nothing. Mom and Dad said, you got to be at home. Don't pay attention to that. Come on with us. We've been there, and it's going to come. And it gets hot. Boy, it gets hot. But I promise you something. If you don't bow, you make a statement to those without. You make a statement to those that there's something different without you. How do I know? Because I can go right now, 25 years from being a high school senior, and I can tell you young men and young women who would not cave because of their faith. I can name them. I can name the ones I saw in my life, and so can you. So my prayer is today that you'll stand. That you'll stand. When the fire comes, that you'll stand. How can we stand? Because we know the fourth man's there with us. How do we know? because what he's done brought us through. We've been through many trials. Next time you get into the middle of fire, I challenge you, think back to a past trial. And obviously you come out of it or you wouldn't be able to be thinking back. You'd be gone. So he's brought you through. And he'll continue to be what he says he is. He's the one true God. And there's no other like him. So there's people maybe even in our room today that's asking a question. If not, there's people you'll encounter tomorrow that's wanting to know, who is that God? Who is that God? It's up to you to give them an answer. As we stand, we come forth. Just, they're going to play. Guys, if you'll start the music. You're here today and you don't know the Lord, I challenge you this time moment. Give in to him. Say yes. Let today be the greatest day in your life. If you know him and you're in the middle of these fires, trust him. He's still the same God he's always been. He'll bring you out as we sing. I wish you was here this morning to see the start of this.
Oh, how you weary from fearing you lost control. This was the one thing you didn't see coming and no one would blame you, though. If you cried in private, if you tried to hide it away somewhere,